Welcome to ACRL Podcast. I'm ACRL President Joyce Ogburn, and I am the Dean of the Library at the University of Utah. I'm joined today by Dr. David J. Staley, Director of the Harvey Goldberg Center for Excellence in Teaching and History at The Ohio State University, and author of the ACRL Research Report, Future Thinking for Academic Librarians, Scenarios for the Future of the Book. Thank you for taking the time to talk with me, David.
Thanks very much for the invitation, Joyce.
Well, I'm glad you could join us. Your new report presents four possible scenarios for the future of the book, and that includes some scenarios which intentionally favor the continued existence of the printed book as a viable technology. Why this approach, and what is the value of scenarios in us navigating an uncertain world?
My feeling is that all leaders, whatever organizations they may lead, have to possess situational awareness. That's a term that we sometimes use to apply to airline pilots or air traffic controllers or firefighters, people that are in high-risk situations. But all situational awareness means is having an awareness of a wider environment and the potential impact of changes. And so situational awareness for leaders means having an understanding of the wider environment in which their organization operates. And to me, scenarios and future thinking like this is an important way to develop that skill. Any leader that thinks that the future exists as a certain path is going to run into difficulties, I think, because the future is inherently uncertain. It can unfold in any one of several potential directions. And so we use scenario thinking as a way to imagine these different possibilities, to imagine the potential environments in which we're going to make our decisions. And so thinking via scenarios means that we're able to develop a more nimble strategic thinking. This is why we use different scenarios. And in this case, we developed four such scenarios.
Thanks, David. I know you talked a little bit about we don't always examine our assumptions when we're looking at the future. Do you have any thoughts about what some of the assumptions might be that are governing our current thinking on ebooks and books in the future?
Joyce, you're quite right. One of the reasons that we use scenario thinking is to surface the strategic assumptions that we're making. And part of the purpose of this report, I think, was to surface some of these assumptions about ebooks and just electronic text generally. The key assumption, of course, is that electronic books or e-readers are going to completely displace the traditional book. And that is, I suppose, one of the key assumptions that we were investigating as part of this report. I think the assumption is that the e-reader, that the Nook, that the Kindle is going to replace the traditional book. And so we were sort of working with that assumption or challenging that assumption. Futurists and others have been predicting for, well, maybe for at least the last 50 years or so, but certainly in the last 20 to 25 years, that the end of the print book is imminent. 20 years after the spread of the internet, we've yet to see the demise of the printed book. And so that was one of the things that we wanted to challenge. Let's not assume that ebooks are going to completely eliminate the existence of print books. We can also point to other statistics that we're seeing today, and I'll use just one of the examples that we cite in the report. There is currently an academic publisher of textbooks who makes available to students textbooks in a variety of media, so they can receive their books electronically, or they can receive an inexpensive paperback, or even a more expensive printed version. And this company reports that 80% of these students still prefer a paperback book to anything that's delivered electronically. And I want to stress, the electronic version is free or next to free or really, really inexpensive. And yet students are still choosing the printed book, even if they have to pay at least a little bit for it. This suggests that young people may still express a preference for printed books and that that preference might continue forward into the future as well. There are other assumptions that we wanted to challenge, or at least to investigate, when we were looking at ebooks. One of the big questions right now about ebooks has to do with whether or not consumers actually own, quote unquote, own ebooks. And one of the examples that we give is, if I were to, say, lend you an ebook, a book that I've downloaded, Joyce, give it to you so that you can read it on your vacation at the beach or something, you're only able to have that book for about 2 weeks before it reverts back to me. Now, compare that to the situation with a book. I can buy a book, read it. When I'm finished with it, I can give it to you, and now it belongs to you. It's in your possession.
There's or you can give it back to me.
Or I can get, yes, or you, exactly. There are some critics who are suggesting that this could be one of the issues with ebooks going forward, if consumers don't feel as if they really own books in the same way that they own traditional print books. One of the assumptions that we look at are the types of books that will end up in e-formats versus print formats. So it seems that there will be some books that will sort of naturally go into electronic formats, cookbooks, let's say, reference books of various kinds. But I think there's still some question about whether or not things like novels or scholarly books will end up in e-formats versus print formats. And when we start talking about the potential impact of print-on-demand technology, one of the assumptions that we look at is that there may, in fact, be more print books in the future.
Well, that's a great segue into talking a little bit about each scenario. Could you give us a short summary of those?
Sure. The first scenario we call the consensus scenario. And by that, I mean there's what I would call general consensus among scholars, among journalists, among some library directors, that the end of the print book is near, that print is dead or print is dying, and that they're going to be supplanted, they're going to be replaced by e-books. And so we wrote this scenario as a sort of a level setter. Here's what that scenario would look like with the traditional book disappearing. And the central feature of this scenario is Google's digital library. Now, I understand, of course, that there are all kinds of legal and other kinds of constraints to making that happen, but we essentially developed a scenario that assumed that Google or some other sort of institution has digitized all books. And so we imagine what would that look like in terms of the future of the printed book. One of the assumptions underlying this scenario is that e-readers, there have been sufficient improvements to them that the e-reading experience is now as good or about the same as the print book experience. One of the things that we're seeing again and again in surveys is that there are some readers, maybe many readers, who aren't entirely sold on the e-book reading experience. And if and when those conditions change, that could be a real driver for pushing ebook sales beyond that of print books. Scenario two we call the nostalgic scenario. And I call it nostalgic because we usually hear this scenario from bibliophiles who say, well, we'll always have books because it's easier to take to the beach, or I can read it in the bathtub, or I like the look and feel and smell of books. So we wrote a scenario that used that as one of its assumptions, that e-books are a fad, that the e-book reading experience never quite comes up to the same experience as the print book, that you don't necessarily want to read to your kids over with an e-book. You'd rather have that sort of print book. We use the assumption that college students today who are expressing preferences for print books over e-books continue that preference going forward, and that e-books, we sort of look upon them as a fad. In some ways, that's not an outlandish scenario, I think. I think even 5 years ago, we assumed that the big box retail stores for book sales, like Borders or Barnes & Noble, would be the model going forward. And of course, Borders no longer exists, and Barnes & Noble, in some ways, is starting to reduce the size of some of their big box stores. I think it's entirely possible to think of a scenario where e-books seemed like they were all that and they were going to supplant print books, but that eventually fade back to a much smaller niche, and that we see print books make a return. The example I like to give is that vinyl records seem to be making a comeback. Scenario three was the one that we constructed using cross-impact analysis and the survey of the library directors. We had 200 or so responses to our survey that we asked them a series of questions about the future state of books. And so scenario three is based upon the expert judgment of these library directors. What we created in scenario three was a scenario where the print book is still in existence, but is sort of overwhelmed by digital media or by e-books in some fashion. And so unlike the first scenario, which was e-books dominate and there are no more print books, this is one where there are still print books, but print books are more like a vestige to e-books. And so, for instance, in this scenario, there are very few big publishers. There are still publishers of books, but most of them have consolidated. So that there are still publishers, but smaller in number and much, much larger in scale. Books are still read and collected, but largely by older folks. Few are published. Not all libraries, in fact, are collecting all books. Let me say that again. Not all libraries are collecting all books. So that means that libraries start to specialize in the kinds of print books they collect. And in fact, what happens to libraries in the scenarios is that their special collections become their book collection. We thought that scenario looked a little too close to the first scenario. And again, the purpose of this exercise was to try to understand the continued existence of the print book in an era of e-books. And so we created a fourth scenario. And using this application, using cross-impact analysis, we have the ability to add a disruptor, some sort of disruptive event. And so what we added to the scenario three was the disruptive event of print-on-demand, what happens if print on demand becomes more viable, is found in all libraries or all bookstores, or becomes within easy access to all sorts of consumers. That was a real game changer. And in this, there are still e-books, but there are still a vast number of print books being produced every year. And it seemed that the key differentiator here is the existence of print on demand. So in this one, the economics of printing books is such that more books get produced, and in fact, lots of people become authors. One of the things we try to talk about in the scenario is, what does this mean for libraries? If the assumption was going forward that there would be no print books, and now there's an explosion of print books, what does that do to collections policies?
Let's move a little bit to talk about the drivers that the History of the Book Working Group of the Literary Studies Initiative at Ohio State did. Talk about this group and how they contributed to the cross-impact analysis and why that was such an important methodology for you.
The History of the Book Group is a gathering of faculty and graduate students here at Ohio State, and they include people from English, from history, from medieval and Renaissance studies. We meet once or twice a quarter to share our research and share common readings, discuss our common interests, largely around the history of the book. And I wanted them to look forward about the future of the book, and in particular, to pay attention to sort of the factors of production for books. This group is especially interested in the materiality and economics and logistics of the book trade, especially in its historical formulation. And so I asked this group to take the same kind of interest and project forward, to think about the materiality and the economics and the logistics of books. They were the ones who helped me develop the drivers for this survey, what were going to be the key dimensions of the system that is book production. And so, for instance, one of the things that they brought to my attention that I hadn't really given much thought to was to see the book as part of a global market, and that book production and interest in books might be different in a place like Latin America or Africa or Asia than what we're seeing in North America or Europe. And I think that was very good for me in challenging some of my assumptions. The cross-impact analysis that we use is particularly useful. Cross-impact analysis is a technique that futurists use. And the reason we use it is one of its key assumptions is that trends have an impact on each other. And so cross-impact analysis means you take a variety of trends and see what happens when you run them against one another. In other words, trends don't just simply operate in isolation. If this trend happens, it's going to have an impact on this trend over here. And so the model that we create tries to include that reality. Cross-impact requires you to define what we call the drivers of a system, but it depends on defining a system. I think that what we call the future is really best understood as defining the state of a system at some future endpoint. So cross-impact analysis encourage a kind of systems thinking that I think is a more realistic way of thinking about how the future is going to unfold.
Do you have any recommendations for how librarians might go about developing other scenarios around e-books or the future of the printed book?
Even more than scenarios, I think environment scanning is really important. Either you or your staff are considering trends and events that are occurring outside of academic libraries and are constantly sort of reading not just simply the Library Journal and our trade publications and our scholarly publications, but really trying to have an understanding of what's happening in the wider environment. Because I think having that situational awareness of the wider environment is important in understanding how that can impact our academic libraries. And so understanding what's happening with book sales, understanding what's happening with trends in other media, constantly being on the lookout for trends in that wider environment, I think, is always a very valuable skill for any kind of leader going forward.
Well, that's really great. I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with me, David.
Very happy to do so. Thank you.
Futures Thinking for Academic Librarians, Scenarios for the Future of the Book, is available as a free download from the White Papers and Reports section of the ACRL Publications website, and you can find that at aola.org/ACRL/publications. Join me at the ACRL Elects Joint Presidents Program at the 2012 ALA Annual Conference in Anaheim to continue the conversation on the future of the book with Duane Bray of IDEO. That will be Monday, June 25th from 10:30 to 12 in the Anaheim Convention Center Ballroom B. I'm Joyce Ogburn, and I want to thank you for listening to this ACRL podcast.